Biggs
with Molly and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, I believe the Bears were on the bye, and everything kind of went pear-shaped. They come off the bye, and they're in last place. How can the 4-2 team be the only team without five wins in the NFC North? Pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, well, it was quite a day for the division yesterday. You saw the Packers go down to the final play, and then the Lions and Vikings are decided in the final minute. So some pretty good football from their rivals, their competition, and just giving you a little preview of what's to come, because this is the most competitive division in the NFL right now. And while we've seen, I think, four instances since 2020, when the NFL expanded to a 14-team playoff field, we've seen four instances of three teams from the same division all reaching the playoffs. We've yet to have the, it'll be an unlikely scenario for four teams from the same division to qualify for the playoffs.
All right, Brad, out in D.C., Jaden Daniels gets injured, leaves the game with a rib situation that will linger all week long. We'll figure out more later, according to reports. He didn't play the second half. They won handily anyway. Marcus Mariota, another former number two overall pick, pretty good replacement, pretty good backup quarterback, could start against the Bears. How deflating do you think that is for Bears fans? But how deceiving could it be, because the assumption that Mariota's a backup, he's looked good in the past, and he looked good against on Sunday.
I don't know if it's deflating for most Bears fans, to be honest with you, Dave. Most Bears fans want to see the Bears stack wins against Washington with Jaden Daniels at quarterback, Marcus Mariota, Heath Shuler, Rex Grossman, Sonny Jurgensen. It doesn't matter. They want to see the Bears stack wins, which they need to do before they go headfirst into the division schedule. Mariota's, I think he's a high caliber backup because he's got a couple things going for him. One, he's got experience. He's been around, so he's going to be able to understand the system, have an idea what looks the defense is presenting, and then he can move around a little bit. And I've always believed that if your backup quarterback has the ability to escape some, that's a big plus. Like, it's more important in your backup than it is your starter, in my opinion. So they got to go out and get a win. They've got a 3-game winning streak. They're coming off a bye. They got a big win off a bye last year. Prior to that, the Bears had been hot garbage after a week off. So they need to keep it rolling, because they cannot afford to fall behind in the division. Now, there's a segment of Bears fans who are, it seems like their only focus is on Caleb versus Jaden, or Caleb versus whoever. Maybe they really want to see Jaden Daniels play. That seems to be more in the corners of social media. I think the fans just want to see the Bears go out and put another digit in the win column.
Jurgensen, by the way, 90 years old, so he's still with us. That would be a nice matchup for the Bears.
What about Billy Kilmer?
Billy Kilmer, he was awesome.
Yeah. So help us out, Brad. So we look at this game, and obviously Caleb is from there, right? This is a homecoming game for him, so it will mean something for him. He played high school there. David pointed out Dan Quinn was a finalist for the Bears job that went to Matt Eberflus. Montez Sweat played for Washington. There are some beautiful kind of
Kingsbury.
Speaking of Kingsbury, beautiful, should have been
beautiful man.
He's a very handsome man.
He's a handsome man,
and he looks great in an architectural magazine, Brad. And he's always poised to be in one. There are a lot of little connections that are some imagined, but some real, like Montez Sweat and Caleb Williams, I'm sure, have motivation for this game. How many different storylines appeal to players when it comes to playing against your old team, playing in your old hometown?
Yeah, with Sweat, I think it'll mean something to him because he's still got a lot of friends there, right? Some of the guys on that defensive line, although Jonathan Allen is out for the season with an injury, the defensive tackle. But there's people there that he's got relationships with. I'm sure Caleb's going to be, excited to go home. But, I mean, this is the guy who packed his bags and went to Oklahoma to college. Then he went from there to Los Angeles. He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that's been homesick or is particularly, caught up in what's going on back at home. So that's a fun storyline as well. But, the better story here, guys, is that both these teams are playing well. These are two teams that you go back to the 80s in the Mike Ditka era, and they had a pretty good rivalry going there for a while where they met in the playoffs, I believe, three times between Mike Ditka and Joe Gibbs, and it was pretty good football. And since then, I believe they've only had one meeting when both teams have been above 500, and that was the crazy game at Soldier Field when Jake Cutler kept mistaking D'Angelo Hall for a Bears wide receiver, and D'Angelo Hall had four interceptions in the game.
You sure do know a lot about the Washington football history for a guy that covers the Bears.
That's Bears history for you there, Dave. You're okay. Hearing what you want to hear.
This segment with Brad Biggs, sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency? Call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. Brad, this off week, the bye week, gives the Bears coaching staff a chance to self-scout. We say that all the time when we reach the bye week. If you're the Bears coaching staff, what do you think they unearthed that will help them the most during this time of kind of self-examination?
Well, hopefully, they get some ideas on continuing to get better up front on the offensive line. I don't know that you're going to discover an epiphany for something like that on the bye week. And they've been better up front lately, and we should take a little bit of time anyway to acknowledge that, as much as we were beating them up in the first 2-3 weeks of the season, right? It was, how could they be this blind to the problem and everything else? They've played better. Is it going to be perfect every week? No. Are they going to need to do some heavy lifting for the offensive line in the offseason ahead? I certainly believe so. Looking at the other side of the ball, I think we talked about it briefly last week, maybe. Statistically, the run defense looks just fine right now because they did a really nice job against Jacksonville when Jacksonville looked completely unprepared to play that football game and disinterested. Different effort by the Jaguars yesterday morning in London. But I would take a look at the run defense. Is there something that pops out at them in that regard? And they've said it's been one thing here, a small thing there. In examining it and taking a step back, do they find something different? Because you better come prepared to stop the run against Washington, especially if Daniels is all of a sudden healthy, because he's running the ball well. And the Commanders are averaging 5.2 yards a carry. It's the highest scoring offense in the National Football League. And, they just took their turn beating up on Carolina after the Bears did a couple weeks back. That was a complete bludgeoning yesterday.
So, Brad, famously, the Bears only looked at one quarterback. They went after Caleb Williams. They pursued him. They drafted him. And that was that. Are you surprised that they didn't extend their reach? And I'm not saying they didn't make the right decision. I'm just saying they didn't really they never brought Jaden Daniels in. They never met with him, to our knowledge. Have you discussed that with Ryan Poles or with the people around the Bears? And can you explain to us why they kind of, and I want to even be careful about saying limited themselves to just Caleb Williams, because, you know, they feel really good about him, and I think he's going to be a good player. I'm just curious why they sort of did that.
Well, I think that while some people were blind to it, that was a full year-long process of them evaluating quarterbacks, and some people thought that Justin Fields was the solution and answer and that everything was going to be hunky-dory. But at House Hall, they were working diligently to scout the quarterback class, knowing that there were potentially going to be some pretty good players in it, Caleb and Jaden included, and some others as well. And I think they did an inordinate amount of research on all these guys. I think they got out and got eyeballs in person on all of these guys with multiple people, right? With the GM seeing them in person, with the area scout, and sometimes 2, 3, 4 people in between the area scout and the GM also seeing these guys perform live, doing the background work, getting to understand these players. So,
and you did the same thing, as I recall. Didn't you go out and see Drake May and see?
I saw everybody but Jaden Daniels, okay, because it was a little bit
sounds like you knew.
A little bit easier to go from Washington, a road game at Washington,
you know.
Chapel Hill, and a couple other places. But Baton Rouge isn't in my neighborhood. But yes, I don't know that they. I think that would just be inaccurate that they didn't learn everything they could about these guys. I don't know that would paint a true portrait of what happened.
I think the true portrait of what's going on now, two things are true. The Bears feel very good about the choice of Caleb Williams, and he still has as high of a ceiling as you think he did when you drafted him, and Jaden Daniels is off to a better start in his rookie season, statistically and otherwise. Now Caleb Williams has, the last three games, begun to ascend. First three weren't so good. Jaden Daniels looks like the guy who was an MVP candidate. Both things can be true, and it shouldn't bother anybody that they are.
Oh, but Dave, it bothers a lot of people out there, buddy. A lot of people with a lot of time on their hands are very bothered by this. I think the Bears should feel really good about where they're at with Caleb right now, the developments that he's made to this point, the improvements. Like, he's ascending, and you can clearly identify it from where he was week one to where he is now. This isn't some mind-bending exercise that you performed when you were trying to state a similar case for Justin Fields.
Right.
Or Mitch Trubisky, and you had some people that continued to do that year after year after year, who were in fact being intellectually dishonest. Okay, you got to be careful, you know, what you listen to and what you believe that's out there. But this is, it's tangible improvement that the guy's made, and Jaden Daniels has played really well. Now, what was one of the questions about Jaden Daniels coming out of LSU and coming into the league was, could he avoid some of the big hits that he took in the SEC? And I didn't see any of that game yesterday, so I can't speak to it, but I do know that he's sidelined with a rib injury and we'll have to monitor his situation this week. Listen, all quarterbacks can take big hits. It's part of the position. It's part of the game. But people wondered about his ability to protect himself in the NFL.
I'm just curious, when you look at Washington and the way they play, you know, you hear, and I don't know if it's a complaint or not, but you hear that with Jaden Daniels, they run a so-called college scheme. They're using his ability as both a passer and a runner, but they're doing it in more of a wide open sort of college type offense with Kingsbury, who was with Caleb Williams last year at USC. I'm just curious, as you watch this, if you see some of that element to it.
I think we see elements of what used to be considered college football in every NFL offense nowadays. That's blended together for a number of reasons. It's not just quarterback. I think it extends down to what is available for the professional teams in terms of offensive linemen and things of that nature as well. The big question is, and numerous people have written about it, that these Cliff Kingsbury offenses, when he was a head coach in college and when he came into the NFL and had his brief stint there, could get off to a pretty quick start, and then you'd see kind of this tailspin. And was it coincidental? Was it, you know, one thing happened this year and something else happened that year? Or were opponents able to get a bead on what they were doing? Were there some tells that they were able to discover? Was it easier to defend after there was a volume of tape available? That'll be something that they need to answer this season with Daniels, because they're playing at a high level offensively. I mean, Daniels is completing more than 75% of his passes. He's been accurate. They've had big plays galore. So that's going to be really interesting to see in another competitive division race, not nearly as competitive as the NFC North, but you know, it's been a while since the Commanders have been worth really talking about in the NFC East, and they're playing well. They're another team that you look at it and you say, well, okay, who have they beaten? You know, that's one of the discussions I think that people have about the Bears. Well, now these teams get to go head-to-head.
So, Brad, quickly, set us up for the rest of the week in terms of what the Bears will do when they return to the practice field and who might be coming off of the injured list are available. Jaquan Brisker, Kylie Gordon come to mind, and then Larry Borum and Ryan Bates on the offensive side.
Yeah, they've got some injured guys you want to keep an eye on. I would add in Tyreek Stevenson, the cornerback with the calf injury in practice in London. What is his status going to be when they get on the practice field Wednesday? Players will be at House Hall today. It's back to work. I don't know if they'll have a walkthrough today, but there is no practice scheduled for today. Tomorrow would be the normal day off for players, and then they're back to the practice field refreshed, ready to go on Wednesday. Jacob Martin, the defensive end, began practicing in London. He's still on IR as he recovers from the toe, but he'll be in the mix. What's his status or situation? And then do they start the return to practice for Borum? High ankle sprain in the preseason finale at Kansas City, and Ryan Bates with that arthritic arm condition with the shoulder and the elbow. He played, 37, 38 snaps in the season opener. So those will be two guys to key on. And then the injured players in the secondary, like you mentioned, Brisker, where is he at in concussion protocol? Gordon, hamstring late in the Jacksonville win, and then Tyreek, remember, didn't play in that game. Certainly beneficial timing of the bye week for those three young defensive backs.
We should let you know that this segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years. Estwing.com. Thank you, Brad. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Brad.
Hold on. How about Russell Wilson last night, guys?
Yeah?
How about him?
What's the point?
are you asking me to say I told you so?
that draft pick, I was a little surprised because the Jets' pass defense is outstanding, number two in the league in yards per game, number 6 yards per pass attempt, and they got the big plays going that have been missing in that offense. I still think Fields gets back on the back into the mix at some point this season. It's a long season. Something to keep an eye on with the draft pick either being a round 6 or round 4 pick for the Bears from that trade.
Need that 4. Got to get them on the field.
Keep waving that flag, Brad.
Start sending plays their way.
You guys have a great day.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs. He's the football man of the Chicago Tribune. We probably need to have a word about Cliff Kingsbury.
Yes,
when we come
and
back.
About Jaden Daniels.
It's okay. That's fair. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 in the Score.
I cannot give you an update on Jaden, but I will just as soon as we find out. We'll do some further tests tomorrow, John, and then when we get together in the afternoon, we'll give you an update. But I don't have anything for everybody else asking the same thing, same answer. So just wanted to make sure I was super clear on that.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of Dan Quinn, and he is telling you that there is no update. That was from after the game. He apparently is okay. His mother, Dr. Mom, said he's okay, but he's got to get some more tests. I guess what she meant is the x-rays were negative. He didn't break a rib.
What mom meant was that he's breathing.
He's fine.
He's fine.
Don't worry about him.
Have you ever trusted family members or parents when dealing with injury stories?
Well, not as a sole source, right. Yeah. No. But, I mean, I have consulted with family members on occasion with injuries, and they usually have good information for the most part. I mean, I don't think mom's out there lying to us. Is that what you're
No,
implying?
I'm not calling her a liar, no.
Mrs. Daniels?
No.
You liar!
That. No.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about Cliff Kingsbury just for a second. We can get into Jaden Daniels from there. But I just wanted to say that sometimes when you look at people, you've got to remember where they came from and what their influences are. Mm-hmm. And Kingsbury played for Mike Leach at Texas Tech, mm-hmm. right? So he was a quarterback at Texas Tech. That's the old air raid system. And Leach was a guy, the late Mike Leach, you know, we lost him a couple of years ago. I believe he had a massive heart attack. He was in the hospital having heart problems and he passed away. And he was a guy that was real big on sort of that RPO and a lot of the zone read stuff, whatever way you want to talk about it. And that is a lot of what Cliff Kingsbury was impacted by and brought with him to the NFL and runs now even in the NFL. And by that, I simply mean the premise, the idea, and we see it sometimes with the Bears where we say, look how they're moving with rhythm. Look how they've sped things up a little bit. They're calling a bunch of plays. That's the way that Washington plays. And the way they play is to speed up the quarterback and to use his running ability as much as his passing ability. And the idea is, and this was from Mike Leach, the idea is that the pass rushers can't really get upfield against their quarterback because they also have to be aware of stopping the run. And that oftentimes he's going to come and he's going to run, and that will put you in sort of a mush rush situation, and that will slow down the pressure on the quarterback, and that will have the offense dictating pace to the defense.
Well, the late Mike Leach gets a lot of credit for that.
Yes.
A lot of coaches have gone in that direction.
And not the only
as
one.
As a result. Not right. The only one. Right. I think what he gets credit for is taking that to an extreme level. So almost at times abandoning a running game or any semblance of a power running game for what you just described.
Spread offense.
And a spread offense, the read option. You see every – look, you can watch the New York Jets with 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers, and they have elements of the read option in their offense because every NFL team has incorporated that over the last 5 to 7 to 10 years. So Cliff Kingsbury, in Washington came in as a new offensive coordinator under Dan Quinn, had a rookie quarterback in Jaden Daniels, and rather than, and I don't know the genesis of this, but I'm speculating here based on what we have seen, rather than incorporate a traditional pro-style offense, decided to maximize his potential by doing things with which he was comfortable and playing to his strengths and his skill set. That's smart.
I agree.
That's smart offensive coordinating. That's a good offensive mind and coach.
And that goes back to the coach hiring him because he knew that he was capable of doing that and would do that.
And he would do that well. Because why? Well, Cliff Kingsbury, because in addition to his experience under Mike Leach, did that successfully in Arizona.
Yeah.
Look at Kyler Murray.
Running his own show. Yes.
And same so thing. Cliff Kingsbury, as much as we do poke fun at the handsomeness and the magazine covers, he is highly regarded and respected as an offensive mind in the NFL. Maybe more so at college football. I don't want to say more so college football. I think at both levels because of look at what the Commanders are doing with a rookie quarterback. And you may look at it as like, okay, is that sustainable?
But he
I don't
was,
know.
He was a head coach in Arizona and lost his job and then had to go back to the college game to sort of get his reputation back. And now he's in the NFL as an assistant coach, not as a head coach, right?
I think part of that, though, without taking too deep of a dive into the Cliff Kingsbury story, he disappeared, Molly.
Yeah.
He did a lot of damage to his own reputation. If not damage might be too strong, but
when they fired him,
he took off for Thailand.
He went
to
Vietnam, Thailand. He went somewhere.
He went on a I don't know. It wasn't a bender necessarily, but he disappeared and he to recharge and rejuvenate himself.
Conventional NFL minds. It was a bender.
Two conventional, traditional, regimented NFL minds,
exactly.
They can be rigid in the National Football League. And when they looked at Cliff Kingsbury, they saw somebody who might be prone to being erratic. So that was the kind of thing he had to recover from, more so than any schematic problems.
He was out there a little.
He was out there.
Yeah.
So he came back to USC and he reinvented himself a little bit.
Yes.
He gets on with Lincoln Riley. He latches on to Caleb Williams. He helps rehabilitate his image. He's back in the National Football League. And you watch. If this continues to go in that direction,
of course he'll get a job.
He'll be a head coach again.
Yeah.
At some point.
But I mean, all I'm saying is that, like, this isn't, when you look at his football family, this is not a guy that came out of Washington, that came out of some defensive background. This is a guy who was heavily influenced by Mike Leach.
This is not a Shanahan disciple. This is not a Sean McVay.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, but the league is full of those guys
having success. The majority of those
Kevin
guys.
Kevin O'Connell.
Yes.
Kyle Shanahan. Sean McVay. Yeah, you can find a guy.
Anybody that was connected to that staff that was put together in Denver.
With Kubiak?
Well, Kubiak
and then
a little
Shanahan
bit, but then when Shanahan moved to Washington, that's where all these young coaches wound up.
Right.
You know, Kyle, Sean McVay, The Flower,
Matt LaFleur.
All these guys were all on the same scheme.
Brother.
Matt LaFleur had a younger brother.
No, that's a good point, but this is not a Shanahan disciple necessarily back in Washington.
This is different.
Yeah, it is, and I think that when you look at that influence, you wonder how much people will try to replicate this. It's also interesting about Washington as the Bears get ready to play the Commanders. Had they not gone in the direction of Dan Quinn, they tried to go in the direction of Ben Johnson, another offensive mind. So what they did essentially
the
was
offensive
replace
coordinator from Detroit.
They replaced Ben Johnson's offensive genius with Cliff Kingsbury, another guy regarded by some people as an offensive genius. So they were going to be dynamic one way or another. They hired a defensive head coach who essentially hired Cliff Kingsbury to be his offensive coordinator / assistant head coach.
But this is a really big week to keep your eye on the secondary because when you're dealing with a guy, again, keep your eye on the injury report, period, end of story.
Yeah.
Because, Jaden Daniels obviously can run this system. Marcus Mariota ran it pretty well yesterday.
He looked pretty seamless.
But they were
fluid.
Playing one of the worst teams in the league. The Bears beat the tar out of Carolina, as did Washington yesterday. And frankly, when you think about an injured rib, they didn't need him to win that game. They were already, by the time he was out of that game, they were already leading, and then they immediately had more success with Mariota. So there was no need for them to try to get their quarterback back in.
He had a 46-yard run.
Yes.
And he only completed two passes, but that's all he threw.
Yeah.
He was two for two.
Weren't they up like 14-0?
Yeah, they were up big. They were playing the Panthers. It was like a preseason game.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a warm-up game for the Bears, which they step up in class.
Carolina's terrible.
It'll be a very good matchup between, you know, Dan Quinn's defense is starting to play pretty well after the first five games of the season. And he's transformed the defense, maybe not as much as the offense has been, but he is he's a candidate for the coach of the year because of him taking over, and the Commanders are in the midst of a divisional race that I don't think anybody realistically expected them to be in.
And if you know Dan Quinn at all, he's one of these guys. He's just like this super positive vibe guy. You know, love the game, love playing the game. There is joy in football. He's not like I'm going to torture you.
No, and we're going I'm going to love every minute of this.
He's going to love every second, and they're going to all love playing for him.
And in a profession that can be petty like many, you don't find many people who have a problem with Dan Quinn's success, right? They're happy for him.
I love every man except Dan Quinn, that son of a dog. You don't hear that.
Well,
he's
a positive guy. Yeah. He was a popular candidate when the Bears hired Matt Eberflus. You thought he
had
a
lot more experience than Matt Eberflus
because he had taken a team. He's won an NFC Championship as a head coach in Atlanta.
This is a big game for Matt Eberflus because they're going to dictate some themes offensively that you've got to be able to react to. So you would like to watch that injury report and get as many of those guys back.
You need those guys
as humanly possible.
You need your defense to be whole. You need your offense to be efficient. And I thought he was taking Caleb Williams off the roller coaster. So why was his quarterback at Six Flags Great America over the weekend?
Did he go to Six Flags?
Yes, he did.
God bless him.
He got to get away.
Do you like going to Six Flags personally?
I'm not a big roller coaster guy.
Yeah.
I'm not a big amusement park guy.
I don't mind a roller coaster. I don't like spinny rides. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like... Do you ever go to... There's like a ride where you're pushed against a wall, somehow held there by centrifugal force.
Yeah, I'm not a big roller coaster amusement park ride.
I don't mind a roller coaster.
Shake up your equilibrium guy. No.
I would be more likely to go to a Disney or that place than like a carnival. I don't know if you've ever been on a roller coaster at a carnival. It's just you feel like you're going to die and that someone forgot to put a screw in and you're about to shoot.
Yeah, but at a carnival, you can take the big hammer and you can like, boom, you know, you can try to ring the bell.
Yeah.
And then you can throw things at a dunk tank or you can try to win something see how good your arm is.
Rick Tellinger and I, they had one of those carnival bells one time at an NFL owners meeting party. Well,
Rick Tellinger's a strong man.
I rang the bell, turned around, and he went to chest bump me. Now, unfortunately for Rick, he was on the way down when I was going up, and I put him over a table of like NFL owners. He just flew into this table, sadly. And it was funny because he has referenced that both of us remember that.
Good old Rick Tellinger.
I love Rick.
Love Rick.
All right. 312-644-6767. Do you believe this is a particular challenge for the Bears, or do you feel there's a reason they're favored, albeit by a point and a half or a point, depending on where you look?
Is it because of the quarterback advantage?
312-644-6767. Mully and Hall on the Score.
When did you realize he was hurt?
After the first drive. And so maybe at the end of the first drive, you know, right when we're down by the goal line, John. But it was into that space, throw, testing, tent, then to go inside. So that's when I knew. And I'll give you some updates just as soon as I find out tomorrow, but I do not have any tonight.
Do you know if it was on that 46-yard run?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't, but I do know it happened during that drive at some point, Nikki.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is Dan Quinn, the Washington head coach, telling you how the injury occurred to his quarterback, Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels is a dual threat, no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. And nobody can deny how electric he can be with the football on the ground or when he's dropping back the pass. It struck me from watching him yesterday, as it has at different times this year, and watching the Commanders, haven't watched every game or every snap. Boy, is he skinny.
Yeah.
He's slight.
You know what occurred to me? They asked him if that happened on that 46-yard run. Now, I was at one point watching the NFL Network. You know, I was watching, they do that show where they jump.
Red zone. Red zone-ish.
It was cool. And I think Scott Pioli was on. Anyway, he gets hurt on that play. He falls funny. He goes to slide, and he kind of...
It wasn't graceful.
No.
It was very awkward.
David, why can't these guys slide?
I don't know.
Didn't they bring out a slip
and
slide?
They got the slip and slide at Hell's Hall.
To teach how to slide. Remember Justin Fields? He would slide like he was on his arm. He was like totally sitting up as he slid, and he kept getting whacked by guys.
It's a very passive move on a football field. Maybe some guys are just really not conditioned or instinctively trained to do that. It's against their better judgment, but they need to show more wisdom, because you're going to get hurt if you don't learn.
It's just a weird thing.
Especially for a guy in Jaden Daniels. He's got 66 carries this year for 372 yards. He carries the ball a lot.
I think he got hurt on the slide.
You think he hurt himself on the slide?
Yeah, I think it was an awkward slide. I don't know if he landed on the ball or his arm got under.
Well, you worry about him getting hurt, taking a big hit, because his stature is not something that gives you confidence that he can absorb a lot of punishment. Not that that's going to get in the way of him being a star in the NFL, and it certainly hasn't hurt him yet. But I do think that's one of those concerns. When you look at the pre-draft process, he slid up the board. He's got electric skills and great athleticism. You do worry about his durability.
Whoever compared him to Randall Cunningham, that's not a bad comparison, just body shape-wise.
Right.
Like kind of taller, thinner. You know what I mean? Cunningham probably more muscular.
Prolific passer in both cases. I do see a lot of Lamar Jackson in him in terms of elusiveness. He does have that kind of skill set. Maybe not to the point where Lamar Jackson is a two-time MVP, but that's a good comparison when you're being, you know, likened to a guy that successful. He will develop into his own. And I do think this is true, and people have resisted this idea. We'll talk about it all week. He's off to a better start than Caleb Williams, but the Bears still have to feel very good about the ceiling and the reasons why they drafted Caleb Williams ahead of Jaden Daniels.
Ceiling is the roof.
The ceiling is the roof.
I'm just trying to figure out when we start making comparisons among players and that sort of thing, what's the knock on Lamar Jackson? Remind me. Why do people question him, two-time MVP?
The only reason people question him is because he's not won a Super Bowl with that skill set, and no quarterback ever has.
He doesn't win in the playoffs.
That's it. The playoff,
that is the argument.
The playoff argument, which...
Would that be an argument for Jaden Daniels?
It'd be an argument why you would pick one quarterback over Jaden Daniels.
Well,
yeah.
Caleb is a passing quarterback.
The answer is yes.
Okay.
Because there is no real...
Can we talk about him without bringing that up at some point if we're going to compare him to people and wonder about his skill set?
I think Jaden Daniels is always going to face those questions, just like Lamar Jackson, despite having won two MVPs, continues to face those questions until he wins a Super Bowl or has more postseason success than he's enjoyed. You're always going to wonder that question about, well, you know, he's great for 17 games.
But
can you win that way in the playoffs? Yeah. I think you can, but I don't think he has. If that makes any sense. I wouldn't give up, and I certainly don't think Lamar Jackson is the biggest reason for the Ravens' inability to win a Super Bowl.
I'm a big fan of Lamar Jackson, but you can't help but notice that it does sort of hit a screeching halt.
He plays tonight, MV3.
MV3?
MV3.
Aren't there two games tonight?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Both Harbaughs.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I know.
I need one.
Divided attention.
I don't have.
I know.
I lack that skill.
I know.
I need to focus on one thing. We have already.
We all do. You know who can focus on next?
I believe DJ Moore is going to join
Moore.
Us. We're going to talk to the Bears wide receiver, find out what he did on his little bit of time off and how he feels physically. DJ Moore will join us next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
The ceiling is the roof.